950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Welcome into FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, as I am back with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. If you tuned in yesterday during the 2 o'clock hour, we of course had the debut of FYI Politics Presents Rock the Vote Native Style, as Robert's going to be helping me out by hosting that Tuesday version of the show, interviewing a lot of politicians who are natives that are running for office and highlighting Native American issues. So that'll be Tuesdays from 2 until 3, and do appreciate Robert helping out with that. And interviewing Ilhan Omar, as you heard on yesterday's show. You can find a podcast version of that over at am950radio.com. And in fact, since we do have the primary in CD5 coming up on August 11th, so that is a week from Tuesday, less than 2 weeks away, coming up on my Friday version of the show, we are going to be playing back the interviews we've done with both Representative Ilhan Omar and one of her DFL challengers, Antone Melton Mukes. So we'll be able to hear both of those interviews back-to-back coming up on the Friday version of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Here's what's coming up on the show today. Coming up in the second half, we are going to be taking a closer look at CD5. We'll be taking a look at ad spending and talking about how the votes could possibly break down in that race. Because obviously CD5 covers Minneapolis, but there are also several inner-ring suburbs that are within the 5th Congressional District, and some prognosticators are saying that could put things in play for Antone Melton Mukes. So we'll get to the second half of the show and talk a little bit more about that. We'll also be highlighting the race in Western Minnesota's Congressional District. That would be CD7. Now, the drama is on the Republican side. On the Democrats, that's, of course, the incumbent Colin Peterson, who will be the DFL nominee this fall. But there are four Republicans running for the nomination in CD7, and it's been a very contentious race, at least between the top two of those four. That would be former Lieutenant Governor and legislative member, Michelle Fischbach, and the guy who was the Republican nominee in both 2018 and 2016, Dave Hughes. There has been some bad blood between both of those campaigns, including restraining orders being filed. So we'll be talking about both of those races and more local news in the second half of the show. But to start things off today, I want to highlight what's happening at the national level with the next coronavirus relief package, and go a little bit deeper into what's included in both the House and, more specifically, the Senate bills. First up, I got to go with this. And Patrick, feel free to chime in on this. Don't you love the names of these bills that they come up with? We had originally the CARES Act. Then the Democratic-controlled House had the HEROES Act. Do you want to know what the name of the Republican Senate bill is? The HEALS Act. I just love how they come up with these different acronyms for names. We have the CARES Heroes Heals Act. I suppose if we were to put those in a better order, we could come up with like another super acronym, like Heroes Heal and Care or something like that. We just need a bill that has an acronym of AND, and I think we might be able to get something put together with that. But let's talk about what's in this Senate bill and how the Democrats in the House might try to negotiate with them, since obviously there are some big differences between both the Senate and the House version. Chief among them is that, well, the Democrats want to spend $3 trillion. The GOP wants that closer to $1 trillion. Now, the big highlights of the Republican bill, and we won't spend a lot of time talking about these since you've probably heard about these provisions on our national shows and in the national news, is that in the Republican bill, it does include another round of $1,200 stimulus checks. That would be our second payment of $1,200. Still pales in comparison to what they're doing in other countries, including Canada, where I believe they are issuing four payments, and I think they've even extended that, four payments of $1,500, or the equivalent of $1,500 US. But yay, we'll get another $1,200 stimulus check if the Republican bill goes through. Also included is reduced unemployment benefits. You, right now, well, up until Friday, had gotten that $600 extra benefit if you were unemployed and got the unemployment insurance. Senate bill knocks that down to $200. And the other big provisions in the bill is an allocation of $105 billion towards education, but two-thirds of that funding is tied towards schools reopening. And Mitch McConnell, also another important highlight, he, of course, the Senate Majority Leader of the Republican Party, he is saying that businesses need amnesty from COVID-19-related lawsuits, and he said that is non-negotiable. Now, let's talk about the Democratic side on these big provisions and how they might try to negotiate with Republicans on these different big policy differences. Because, as you can imagine, the Democrats disagree with, well, most of what's in the Republican bill. Now, what I'm hoping happens is that the Dems don't give up on this unemployment insurance being knocked down to $200, but unfortunately, we're already seeing Democrats in the House, surprise, surprise, begin to waver on this one. According to everyone's favorite Democratic leader in the House, maybe second favorite leader beyond Nancy Pelosi, that would be Steny Hoyer, the number two ranking House Democrat. He and the national media said this morning that the negotiations are not $600 or bust. He said Democrats entered into negotiations over the expanded unemployment benefits with values, not red lines. So in other words, yeah, expect that bill to, or expect your unemployment benefits to drop below $600, as already we're seeing Steny Hoyer caving on this one and not holding firm on that $600, which is too bad because politically you could really paint Republicans into a corner on this one by saying, hey, we just want to extend everyone's benefits and give them their extra $600. Well, look over there, the Republicans, they want to cut that. And the only reason you don't have your $600 is that Republicans aren't willing to negotiate. That seems like a pretty strong position from the Dems, but leave it to Democrats, and especially those in the House, to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. One other big news piece to point out with this in regards to Democrats on both the House and the Senate, by the way, this is separate from this bill entirely, but I still think it's kind of fun to throw in here. Not necessarily fun being the right term, probably, but House Democrats Ayanna Pressley and Rosa DeLario, she is a Connecticut Democrat, have joined Senator Kamala Harris in introducing a bill that would fund legal assistance for 12 million Americans facing eviction soon. Now, keep in mind what that means. The only thing they're setting up is funding legal assistance, not housing assistance. So they're already assuming that people are going to be evicted and not really doing much to help people with their rent and mortgages. They're already moving on to the legal aspect. So, yeah, that's kind of depressing. Let's go back to the HEALS Act, though, the so-called HEALS Act that is being proposed by the Republicans. I want to highlight a few provisions that haven't necessarily been getting a lot of attention that I think are important to point out. Now, I got four of these to highlight. Two have to do with, well, just bad policy, and the other two are absolute pure cronyism. Let's start off with just the bad policy aspects. Well, first up, we have military funding being increased by $30 billion, including several billion that are going to be spent on additional weapons. Now, I get why you might need to add some additional funding to the military if they need to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and put in different protocols. Yeah, you can allocate them some funds, but $30 billion, with a large chunk of that money being spent towards buying more weapons. Yeah, not exactly useful. I don't think you can shoot the coronavirus or bomb COVID-19. That's not really going to make it go away. The other bad policy part of this bill that's in this bill is rescue committees, which make their return. Rescue committees are, well, If you know the term rescue committee, that never means anything good when you have a member of Congress bring that up. But these set up these committees that will come up with ways to try to fund programs like Social Security and Medicare in the future, although probably not going to be talking about how to fund them. It's going to be more on the cut side. So rescue committees are also going to be set up on this bill. But let's go to the two peer cronyism aspects of the so-called HEALS Act. One, and I have no idea who was lobbying for this to get put into the bill, is the doubling of the food and entertainment deduction. So if you're not familiar with the food and entertainment deduction, this kind of goes back to my old accounting background. So on your taxes, if you're a business, you get to deduct half of your food expenses as long as they're used for business purposes. So for instance, let's say I own a business and Patrick over there on the other side of the control board is a prospective client. If I take Patrick out to lunch and say, well, it's a business-related lunch, I can deduct half of that bill that I get from the restaurant as a food-related expense. In this bill, they want to make that a 100% deduction, or in other words, double that deduction. I have no idea who is necessarily calling for the doubling of the food and entertainment deduction, let alone the fact that, well, who is even taking anyone out to a business-related lunch among these times? But yes, that was somehow included in the bill. Then the other one I want to highlight is the FBI building. So here's a little background. The FBI needs a new headquarters building in the Washington, D.C. area. And it will cost approximately $1.8 billion. Now, the building has been needing to be replaced for several years. In fact, even decades. This goes back to even the Bush and Obama years. Now, the original plan up until 2017, when Trump took office, was that they were going to put this building in either suburban Maryland or Virginia. They were going to move the FBI headquarters to the suburbs of Washington, D.C. But when Donald Trump took office, plans changed significantly, and instead they decided that they wanted to either renovate or rebuild the building. So there was a provision added to this bill that called for $1.8 billion being put towards building a new FBI headquarters in the same location where they are right now. So what's interesting about this is that on Monday, Mitch McConnell was asked about this FBI funding bill, and he seemed at first when asked about it, unaware that it was even included. He had no idea that there was this $1.8 billion set aside for a new FBI building. But when he was asked a second time, here's where it gets interesting. He basically said you'd have to ask the administration why they're insisting this money is included in the bill. Which is very telling because McConnell is normally a very calculating politician who really chooses his words carefully when he talks about Donald Trump. But he essentially threw him under the bus and said, I have no idea why this is in here, and you'd have to ask the administration why it's in. And if you read between the lines, he basically didn't care one way or another whether this money was included for the FBI new building. But here's why the administration is insisting on getting this new FBI building in the exact location where it is right now. There is a Trump Hotel located directly across the street. And what's significant about that is that if the FBI were to go back to their original plan and move their headquarters to Maryland or Virginia, they, of course, would demolish the current FBI building and it would be replaced. And if you know what happens in a lot of big cities, including Minneapolis, in urban areas, if you tear down a building, typically it gets replaced by luxury apartments or luxury hotels. And the thinking here is that if you tear down the old FBI building, which is, again, across the street from Trump Hotel, that likely means you're going to have a possible competing hotel built in that old location, hence the reason why the administration is pushing so hard to get this $1.8 billion new FBI building. So Want to point that out there because this is a pretty clear case of direct cronyism from the administration, one where you can draw the lines pretty clearly. Now, is this the most egregious offense that the Trump administration has ever committed? By no means. As Mark pointed out the other day, you can look at the Soleimani assassination, among others. But right here, you have a pretty direct example that the only reason that this building needs to be rebuilt in the exact location is to prevent competition for the Trump Hotel. By the way, Trump has not given up on this either, as he's been tweeting about this morning, talking about how Republicans need to include funding for this new FBI building in the HEALS Act. That came in light of Mitch McConnell now saying that he doesn't want the $1.8 billion included in the bill. But I want to point that out there, a direct example of cronyism and using your position of power to personally benefit yourself. Let's take a break and come on back with some phone calls and get to some other national news. You're on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Nightingale at 26th and Lindale is open for in-person service. They have a lovely socially distanced patio and interior available for safe and thoughtful dining and drinks. Nightingale has reservations via resi.com with plenty of tables and bar spots saved for walk-up reservations. Nightingale's temporary summer hours are Sunday through Thursday from 4 to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday 4 p.m. to midnight. Last call for full menu 30 minutes before close with curbside takeout by calling 612-354-7060. Info, menu, and updates at nightingalempls.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, I'm Matt McNeil, and I want to encourage you to join me weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. for the Matt McNeil Show. It's a Twin Cities-based full hour of talk where we discuss what's going on in the state and in the nation from a Minnesota perspective. We'll be joined by a lot of great guests, and we'll take your phone calls. Interact with us on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X, the Matt McNeil Show, and on email, comment at am950radio.com. The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3, right here on AM950.
The Electric Fetus is now open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6. There are limits to the number of people allowed in the store and masks are required. Web and phone orders are available for curbside pickup, but the Electric Fetus is currently only buying used vinyl and DVDs by appointment only at this time. Visit electricfetus.com for the latest info and to shop for music, gift department merchandise, and gift cards. 2000 4th Avenue South, Minneapolis, and electricfetus.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So, yeah, there's a lot of garbage in these bills, both the House and the Senate side, mostly on the Senate side, as part of the next coronavirus relief package, including, again, for some reason, the doubling of the business expense regarding food and entertainment, the FBI headquarters, as I was talking about, increasing yet more military funding, having these rescue committees, and, of course, cuts to unemployment benefits. And make sure you hold your representatives accountable on this, especially on the House side, as we've already seen Steny Hoyer and others begin to bend to pressure and start to compromise. Yeah, Democrats are the best at negotiating with themselves. One other piece of national news I want to point out before we head to the phone lines. The Democratic National Committee, the DNC, has said that the party platform they're going to put out is going to be the most progressive they've ever made. But is that necessarily the truth? The DNC held a virtual meeting on Monday to approve a policy platform ahead of the planned convention in Milwaukee later in August. Now, there was an amendment put through that would ask the DNC and the party platform of the Democrats to fully support Medicare for All. It was voted down 125-36, which is kind of unreal to think about because, yeah, while there might be a majority of Democrats who are against Medicare for All for whatever reason, I don't think by it, it's quite by the margin of 125-36. By the way, oddly, the body also shot down an idea of endorsing legalizing recreational marijuana, of course, something that is popular among both Democrats and Republicans. They forcefully shot that down. And one final thing they rejected, too, was condemning Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. So, in other words, the committee does not appear to represent the voters, since several of these provisions are very popular. And even if you look at the Medicare for All proposal, in the most pessimistic sense, it's maybe a 50-50 divide among Democrats, not like a 3-1 kind of ratio that we saw with that vote. So that's the latest out of the Democratic platform with the DNC in Milwaukee, supposedly the most progressive platform that they've ever put together. Let's talk to Randy in St. Cloud, who's been hanging on the phone lines for a while. Hey there, Randy.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, the DNC, the most progressive, I think by that they mean progressing into old age comfortably. but, yeah, this whole, I get a constant barrage of emails. Trump is horrible. Send money. Trump is horrible. We have to defeat him. Trump is terrible. They're giving him everything he ever asked for. Nobody ever questions anything. And, you know, the next rescue package is called the For All Rich Turds Act. I can't remember what that acronym is.
Maybe just the Turd Act. That could be a good one. I got to think of an acronym for that, though. Or what the T-U-R-D could stand for. I'm sure we could figure something out.
But, yeah, I mean, this is just crazy. Mm-hmm. Ilhan Omar introduced an amendment to the NDA, the National Defense Authorization Act, to ask that 10% of the budget would be taken away from the military and used for purposes of helping Americans in America to keep us safe. Remember that? Defense is supposed to keep us safe. But out of the 8 members of the Minnesota delegation, Ilhan Omar was the only one that voted for it. When they already knew it wasn't. I mean, they can't even take the head fake of saying, yeah, I support that, because then their donors would yell at them. It's just so ridiculous. We're in really bad shape here. Yeah. Oh, well.
All right, appreciate
sunlight from Tim.
All right, appreciate the phone call as always. That's Randy in St. Cloud. Yeah, going back to what he was mentioning with the National Defense Authorization Act, yeah, just a modest 10% cut. That's despite the fact that in this new so-called HEALS Act, they're just going to increase military funding by $30 billion. And by the way, if you look at the military bill that was passed back in 2019, Congress actually gave the military more money than what the military was even asking for. The military came in and requested X amount of money, and both houses of Congress said, we'll do you one better. We'll give you even more money than what you asked for. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break and come on back and take a look at our local congressional races here in Minnesota, specifically CD5 and CD7. We'll get into some other local and state news as well here on FYI Politics.
The Electric Fetus is now open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6. There are limits to the number of people allowed in the store and masks are required. Web and phone orders are available for curbside pickup, but the Electric Fetus is currently only buying used vinyl and DVDs by appointment only at this time. Visit electricfetus.com for the latest info and to shop for music, gift department merchandise, and gift cards. 2000 4th Avenue South, Minneapolis, and electricfetus.com.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Thanks for listening to the Wall of Power Radio Hour for the last 5 years on AM 950. We air every Saturday night at 6 p.m. We have artists, musicians, private detectives, politicians, and more. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason you should choose us. We give back to the community and stand up for social justice. At Minuteman Press Uptown, we understand Black Lives Matter and know love is love. We're the only minority-owned union shop in the state. While we take pride in our work with over 100 plus years of industry experience, we also know it's important to be involved in our community. That's why we're active in the Twin Cities working for racial, social, and economic justice. We are supporting our community as we rebuild and come together. We have Black Lives Matter yard signs available and can print the slogan on masks and most anything you can think of. Work with a printer that shares your values for all your printing needs. Minuteman Press Uptown, located on Hennepin Avenue, one block south of Franklin Avenue. Learn more at mpuptown.com. That's Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 84. Tonight, clear with a low around 62. Thursday, sunny with a high near 83. And Friday, sunny with a high around 82.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Maple Grove Community Center, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Maple Grove Community Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, the Wednesday edition of the show. Don't forget, we got Pilot's Progressive Party coming up tonight from 5 until 6 o'clock as Robert and Wendy Pilot will be having their own Progressive Party. Patrick might be part of that Progressive Party too, so make sure you tune into that tonight from 5 until 6 as they'll be getting their jam on a progressive style. That's maybe the lamest promo I could ever do for the show. No, in all seriousness, make sure you listen. Robert and Wendy have a lot of great guests on. That's Pilot's Progressive Party from 5 until 6. Are you here to try to dig me out of that hole, Patrick?
I was just going to say, I can confirm I will be part of the Progressive Party.
All right, excellent. So, Patrick joining the party tonight at 5 o'clock. Hey, before we dive into what's happening in CD5 and CD7, this is being reported in the Pioneer Press, and I've seen a few of these billboards around town, by the way, but a handful of billboards in support of law enforcement have been vandalized in the Twin Cities, including one that was altered with graffiti in Minneapolis to say, "Shoot our police," rather than "Support our police." The billboards were originally put up by the conservative-leaning Center for the American Experiment. They're offering $10,000 in reward money for information that leads to the prosecution and arrest of those who vandalized the billboards. Here's what I'm pointing out with this, though, at least from the perspective of the Center of the American Experiment. If they're really interested in supporting law enforcement and pushing back against proposals that would either abolish, defund, or reform the police, I don't think putting up a gigantic billboard that says "Support our police" is necessarily the best angle to go with. I think you can take a more nuanced approach and maybe have something to work with, because in certain areas, if you try to say defund the police, it does have a very negative connotation. But yeah, not the best strategy, I think, from this special interest group that was hanging up these billboards that eventually got vandalized. All right, let's talk about what's happening in CD7, our congressional races. We'll start in western Minnesota. That's where Colin Peterson, the incumbent sort of Democrat, is running for re-election, perhaps for the last time, because Colin's not exactly a young guy, and it's very likely that after 2020, his district won't exist anymore. But he is facing several Republican challengers that are running in the primary set to take place on August 11th. Now, what's interesting about this race is that while several House races, according to prognosticators like the Cook Political Report and others, have shifted several races, including those in Minnesota, from the toss-up category to lean Democrat, this race in CD7 has remained in the toss-up category, being that there are a lot of Republicans who live in CD7, and as we're all aware of, Colin Peterson is a very conservative Democrat, to say the least. Now, there are four candidates running against Peterson in the Republican primary. They include Jason Sherman, who is a licensed minister and substitute teacher, William Logwaggy of Marshall, and then the two more prominent candidates, that would be Dave Hughes, who is the endorsed Republican candidate in both 16 and 18, and Michelle Fischbach, who is the former lieutenant governor and a member of the state legislature. Now, Hughes and Fischbach, policy-wise, are really not that different from each other, as they both emphasize their unwavering support for Donald Trump. In fact, that's even a point of contention, as the Trump campaign sent a cease and desist letter to Dave Hughes touting Trump's endorsement of Dave Hughes back in 2018. Hughes has been touting this, even though in 2020, both Pence and Trump have endorsed Michelle Fischbach. But their policy differences are not much, as they both support gun rights, they talk about valuing the right to life by opposing abortion, and they believe in heavier border security. So it really comes down to what Republicans are thinking about in that district, who has the better chance to take down Colin Peterson, and who is more friendly towards Donald Trump, as I brought up just a few seconds ago. They've certainly been fighting over that, with Hughes being endorsed in 18 and now Fischbach being endorsed here in 2020. But there is one final interesting thing to point out about this race: the bad blood between the two campaigns. Because back in the spring, Dave Hughes was granted a restraining order against Michelle Fischbach's campaign manager named Samuel Winter. Now, here's how that stemmed. I talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago, but here's a refresher on this. So, according to the court documents, between April 4th and 27th, again, Michelle Fischbach's campaign manager, Samuel Winter, called phone numbers belonging to the Hughes family and congressional campaign members. The calls from Mr. Winter numbered over 300, including roughly 60 calls made on one single day of April 11th. Many of the calls were coordinated attacks during Hughes's virtual campaign speeches that he was making, and also during political conventions. So basically, yeah, you had Fishbach's campaign manager trying to jam Hughes's phone lines as he was making speeches. And furthermore, several dozen of the calls happened between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. So you just randomly had the campaign manager for Fishbach randomly dialing Dave Hughes between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. several times. So that's what led to the restraining order that was filed in Kitson County and was eventually granted. Yeah, not often you see one campaign filing a restraining order against another campaign's manager. All right, so that's what's happening in CD7. Let's go to CD5 before we head to some phone calls towards the end of the show. So unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably been seeing lots of TV ads for Antone Melton Mukes and some for Ilhan Omar. Or if you don't watch much TV, you've certainly got a lot of those mailers in your mailbox, especially from the Melton Mukes campaign, I should say. Now, since the race has really heated up into the late days of July and here into August, we have seen the Omar campaign start to fight back, being that Melton Mukes has raised a ton of campaign cash. This is being pointed out by Politico that Omar has spent $146,000 on Facebook advertising during the month of July, increasing the amount she was spending before. That is according to the Facebook ad library. And what's also interesting is that we saw the Omar campaign release a poll showing that they were up 37 percentage points against Melton Mukes. Now, here's what I'm reading into this, because I think it's important to kind of read the optics of what's happening with this race. So normally when you have any sort of political race, you don't see a campaign release their internal campaign number or their internal poll numbers unless they're in trouble. That's kind of a rule of thumb. You want to de-highlight the race if you're someone who is way ahead. So even though Omar released that poll showing that she was ahead 37 percentage points, leads me to believe that the campaign is somewhat concerned, because if they were quite confident that they would win, they probably wouldn't be releasing that internal poll data. And then you add the fact in that she's been making many more public appearances than she has in the past, leads me to believe that this race is probably a little bit closer than what meets the eye, although I would still call Omar a pretty heavy favorite, being that she is the incumbent and is still very popular with the progressive base of the party, which makes up a huge portion of CD5. On the other side, with Melton Mukes, as I pointed out, he has raised a ton of money during the second quarter of this year, but he, of course, has his own controversial background, as this is being reported by retired labor reporter Stephen Greenhouse. He talks about the work history of Melton Mukes and how he worked for a law firm that was widely known as one of the most aggressively anti-law firms in the U.S. The name of the firm, by the way, is Jackson Lewis. Now, Melton Mukes has responded to this by saying that Jackson Lewis is a global law firm and that his role was that of an employment attorney counseling clients on creating workplaces where employees are valued in their workplace and did not work on any union campaign, so on and so on and so on. But that, of course, is a point of contention with the Melton Mukes campaign. So this is going to be something to watch, and we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about this race either next week or maybe on Thursday and Friday. I was actually getting into a conversation with David Schultz as we were talking through this race and looking at city by city and even precinct by precinct and trying to figure out if this race could really go down to the wire. And Schultz was especially thinking that in the suburbs, that could be an area where Melton Mukes could get a lot of support, while Ilhan Omar, of course, holds on to the majority of her support in Minneapolis. So we'll hopefully be able to break that race down a little bit more on a future show. Let's go to the phone lines before we head to break. Let's go to Mark in Fridley, who wants to chime in. Hey there, Mark. Oh, doesn't look like we have Mark, so we'll hopefully chat with him another day. I know we got another phone call. Let's go Gary in Minneapolis. Always love to hear from Gary.
I noticed, Brad, that it looks looks like there's a little fracture in the Republican Party. It might be getting bigger. You got a lot of these suburban women, most lifetime Republicans aren't going to vote for them. They're going to vote for Biden, I guess. And then you got people like George Will and the former governor of Ohio. I can't think of his name, a lifelong Republican.
Kasich, yep.
They're really critical of Trump. So maybe he's either driving them out of the party or this fracturing the whole party would be a big fight like we had in 68 in the Democrats. What do you think?
There's certainly a very vocal minority of Republicans who are against Trump, including, as you pointed out, John Kasich. Who else is among them? I know political analyst Mike Murphy. Bill Kristol is among the never-Trump Republicans. In fact, they've actually set up their own little PAC that has started running ads against Trump. It's called RVAT, Republican Voters Against Trump. And here's what I want to point out with these guys. Yeah. They'll end up supporting Biden and being against Trump in 2020, but they've already admitted that they're not your friend if you're a Democratic supporter or if you're someone who is progressive. In fact, Murphy even admitted that, well, they're only leasing, not buying, voting for Joe Biden. So in other words, yeah, they'll vote for him in 2020, but come 2022, 2024, they're back to being Republicans. And this is important to point out because we saw even Hillary Clinton kind of tempted by this in 2016 to highlight her Republican support. The type of support you're going to get from Republicans this election cycle is not going to last. As soon as Biden, in theory, is elected or potentially elected, all of those Republicans who are against Trump, they're going to go right back to being Republicans. They're not all of a sudden going to magically turn into Democrats. So what I hope we get out of this is that with the Biden campaign and a potential Biden administration, they don't give undue influence to the never-Trump Republicans, thinking, well, they supported us during the campaign. I guess we should give them some say once I'm elected to office, because no matter what policies you put through, once you're in office, the Republicans are automatically going to go against you. Hey, let's talk to Mark in Fridley before we head to break. Hey there, Mark. See if we got you back on the lines now.
Yep, a little more technical difficulties, but that's one of the things I want to talk about. I'm waiting here for the Congressional House Judiciary Committee against big technology, and they've got the CEOs of Amazon, of Facebook, of Google, and of Apple, and it started out an hour and a half late due to technical difficulties with the Zoom teleconference. And they've had to cancel it now, apparently, because of technical difficulties. So it's just kind of ironic. And I just want to remind people, a week to the day before Al Franken's famous pictures came out, he read a speech at the Open Market Institute where he said big technology represents the biggest threat against the American people's liberty, freedom of expression, and democracy. Not Russia, not China, these companies. And unfortunately, what they're focusing in on primarily, or what the purpose of this was the power of these companies, the way that they were set up, to monopolize the intelligence collection, the monetization of data, the weaponization of data, the exploitation of data. But unfortunately, like I said, we're having all of these technical difficulties getting this hearing on. And it's kind of interesting that this happened a day after the Barr hearing as well. But we need to look at these companies and the fact that this hearing was 10 years too late. And I live in the 5th District, and I've talked to Ilhan Omar about this personally. And the last time I met with her was at the Blue State Ball, and we talked about this. But during the George Floyd protests, the military, the Department of Defense, and federal law enforcement were flying Predator drones and FBI surveillance aircraft, sucking all of the data out of your cell phones, and you know, especially if you have Android phones right now, if you look up the most recent updates, you might be surprised to find a COVID-19 contact tracing component that was dropped in your phone.
That was automatically included without anyone's consent, it sounds like?
What it was is if you sign on to the app without reading what you're getting, or if you sign up for the update, and people will just, you know, knee-jerk, update, boom, update.
Yeah, no one reads the terms of service, right.
Without looking at the TOS, you're right. Mm-hmm. And so what people are finding now is that if you scroll through your phone security settings, you just might find that they're mapping and tracking your physical geolocation with your cell phone right now and calling it a COVID-19 contact tracing component. And again, you know, those are the types of things that Al Franken warned about. And as a result, a week later, those pictures came out. And he was forced to vacate his seat in the Senate. And remember, Al Franken knew more about this than most people, because when he became a senator, he ended up being on the Senate Judiciary Committee as the subcommittee chairman for privacy, technology, and the law. And I met with the senior staffers and told them about what these companies were doing, the scope and scale. And it's interesting that the Republicans, during the 90 minutes of hearings they were able to hold, went after these big tech CEOs for working with China. And being, you know, so they were going after Apple, they were going after Google and Alphabet specifically. The one person that hasn't received one question yet has been Jeff Bezos from Amazon. So that's kind of curious.
All right, Mark, we're going to have to leave it there since I do need to get into a commercial break. But as always, appreciate the phone call. And yeah, when it comes to that surveillance, if you've done nothing wrong, you got nothing to worry about. No, just kidding on that one right there. But yeah, going back to the Franken resignation, still wish he would have fought that more. All in the name of optics of trying to get that Alabama Senate seat flipped. And it did end up working, but yeah, was losing Al Franken and the wealth of knowledge he brought in worth getting Doug Jones in the Senate? That's an interesting question, because that's a big reason why so many Democrats turned on him. And as Mark pointed out, Franken was very, very vocal on making sure that we have data privacy being very prominent on that fight. Let's take a break. Come on back for one final segment of FYI Politics.
These days, our home is the center of our world. This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. If we're all going to be spending a lot more time at home, doesn't it make sense to make your space the most attractive and most functional space it can be? At Habitation, my experienced, degreed interior design staff can help you select the perfect furnishings for your home and your lifestyle. Furniture is more than one size fits all, and there's more to making a room work than a couple of chairs and a sofa. Whether it's a modular sectional carefully selected to maximize your living room, or the perfect bed, dresser, and nightstand combination to create your dream bedroom, Habitation can help you achieve the space you've always wanted. So check us out online at habitationdesign.com or schedule an appointment at our Edina showroom. Habitation Furnishing and Design. Your home exceptional.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the ethical jerk.
The ethical jerk? That's like saying the round square. It's an oxymoron.
You obviously haven't spent enough time in department meetings with ethicists who act like jerks.
You don't think studying moral philosophy makes us more moral?
You mean they were even worse before they studied philosophy?
But I'm a the ethical jerk. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk. Every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
If you're looking to save money on your home or building improvement project, check out Better Futures Minnesota's reuse retail warehouse in South Minneapolis. We carry salvaged building materials such as cabinetry, flooring, plumbing fixtures, appliances, lighting, and more, saving you money and saving the planet by keeping these items out of the landfill, by giving them another life. Selections change daily, and we also take donations. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under Reuse Warehouse to learn more. Let us know AM 950 sent you.
Hey, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraking host of The Bradcast, heard weeknights right here on AM 950. Whether it's photo ID restrictions, bad voting machines, or plain old voter intimidation, we will expose all of the latest schemes, frauds, and much more. Right here on The Bradcast with me, Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Cafe Latte combines a cafe dining experience with gourmet quality food. And right now, Cafe Latte has reopened to indoor dining at 50% capacity. So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
And we're back on the final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Just a few minutes left, so let's go to some quick hitter stories. Researchers at the University of Minnesota have released a new study that they're hoping will help businesses and schools make their indoor spaces safer. What they were doing was studying how the airborne virus travels indoors. Easy for me to say. And they found that if you ventilate your building correctly and set up everyone in an absolute perfect social distancing position, maybe those indoor spaces could be safer. But the big part I want to highlight is that they found only 10% of aerosols with the virus were filtered out by ventilation when an asymptomatic teacher was talking for 50 minutes. So I'm going to probably need a more powerful ventilation system if it's only going to be taking out 10% of those aerosols. Speaking of COVID-19, Louie Gohmert, the crazy Republican representative from Texas who was known for not wearing a mask, he has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, Politico sent an email to Gohmert's office, and one of the aides in Gohmert's office responded to the email. And I'll just read this for you verbatim. Quote, "Thank you for letting our office know Louie tested positive for the coronavirus. When you write your story, can you include the fact that Louie requires full staff to be in office, including three interns, so that we could be an example to America on how to open up safely? When probing the office, you might want to ask how often people were berated in the office for wearing masks." So already one of the aides of Louie Gohmert turning against him. A couple more local stories. The Minnesota Supreme Court has upheld a Minneapolis ordinance that prohibits landlords from refusing to rent residential properties to someone solely because they receive public assistance. So, yeah, that is a ruling from the Supreme Court saying that landlords can't deny someone a property just because they receive rental assistance. And last thing to point out, this has to do with campaign ad spending that I find really interesting, because it appears as if the Trump campaign might be giving up on Michigan. Analysis was done on how the Trump campaign has been spending state by state, and the following states have had more money spent than Michigan: Florida, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Arizona, Ohio, Nevada, Iowa, Georgia, and Minnesota have all had more money spent in their states by the Trump campaign than what they've spent in Michigan. So that could be a sign that already you see number 45 giving up on trying to win Michigan in 2020. All right, I'm out of time for today. We got Matt McNeil up next. Then don't forget Pilots Progressive Party tonight from 5 until 6.